Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me,
they bring to me.
How I
long
once more to be,
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me,
they bring to me.
How I long,
once more to be, with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious
dreams
of memory,
oh what joy
they bring to me,
how I long
once more to be,
with my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in Jesus' name. Let us go to the Father. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking, Father, for the Holy Spirit to be with us, to bring us a greater understanding of your word, Father, as we read it and as we put it in our hearts. And Father, we need him so that our hearts and our minds be open, be receptive unto this, your word, Father. Help us to move and walk closer each and every day so that, Father, when the time comes, we'll be ready to meet the Lord. And we ask this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the third chapter of Genesis this evening. Talking from there, we have covered the first two chapters about creation, God creating the heavens and the earth, and all of the animals and the beasts of the field, every living thing, and of mankind. Now here in this third chapter, we're going to be dealing with the fall of man. Think about that just that quickly. How quick that really was. Now we don't know in years. We know they wouldn't be two here. And how come the fall of man? And we're fighting the same one today in a great and mighty way. Where's Jim? So, all right. We begin here with verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me, with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above all beasts of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows, and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And to Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and into dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now these he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now may the Holy Spirit come forward to bring to you and I the message that God would have each of us to hear this day. We know, and we are seeing how for man can fall today. because man has fallen a long, long way away from God. He's turned his back upon the Lord Jesus. He took him out of every place he was in. Don't want to hear the name. And now they're out to persecute the church and those that are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And each and every day we are coming closer to losing our spiritual freedom. You can talk to a lot of people out here and they'll say, oh no, that'll never happen. Yeah, it will. And we've been warned that we're getting close to that day and time. And everyone that has studied God's word and has read Revelations, and those that have paid attention to it, and those that have been born again, are seeing things happen today that we didn't believe we would see in our lifetime. But yet now we are seeing them. We've seen it all come about. I don't know whether any of you ever watches television through the daytime or not. But any of you that's here, do you watch the Jim Baker Show? Everybody ought to tune into that once. He's got a large ministry. Multi-millions and millions of dollars in that church. What he has done with it is the next thing. He made it, that church, a marketplace. He's dealing in things that's almost unbelievable. And Jesus took and made a whip and run them out of the synagogues for doing actually about the same thing. Turned the money changers' tables over and everything. And he told them, he said, my house is to be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a place of market and a den of thieves. He spends his time on television selling you books, food, lights, generators. This is what his time is spent instead of preaching the word of God. He's made his ministry a market. And be surprised how many's following him. There shouldn't be any surprise. You know, I don't know how many of you can remember the name of Meng Sun Moon. Teaching absolutely contrary to the word of God and had millions of followers. I was living in Louisville. This is back when, as they called it, the Great Tent Revival Zone was going on. But one of them came out of Louisville. Rented a theater, a movie theater, because it was kind of time of the year that really wasn't right to really be holding them outside, not even in a tent. got in there, and when it got time for the service to start, they locked the doors, locked you in where you couldn't leave. Needless to say, I didn't go back. But then there were some of the tent revivals that had good men in them, had godly men in them, but most of them didn't. They were show. Things had been made up, put on. But you know, when you'll do what God tells you to do, He always has a reason for it. I was living on 2nd Street. They set up a tent revival down on 13th and Broadway in a big lot. I went. I was supposed to stop on my way back at the store and get a quart of milk for the baby. All I had was a dollar. Because back then you could get a quart of milk for less than a dollar. But a dollar's all I had. So they went to fasten the offering plate. Got to me, and I just let them go right on by. The Spirit spoke to me and told me, give that dollar. Lord, if I give that dollar, how am I going to get milk? Spirit spoke again, said, give that dollar. I still didn't give it till they got all the way through and got to the back. And finally, I had to obey. I got up, followed the plate, went back there and put that dollar in it. I spent the rest of the evening listening to the service. I'm sitting there wondering, what am I going to do for milk now? But the Lord told me to give it, so I did. Service is over. And I had walked there. I had to walk down there. At the time, I didn't even own a car. Even our local didn't need it. And got outside, got up to the corner, standing there waiting for the lights to change so I could cross. There'd been a bunch of them across there. I happened to look down, and there at the curb was a $5 bill. I knew where my milk was coming from now. I gave that dollar, he gave me five back. You never lose by giving to God. A lot of people don't believe that. One of the hardest things there is to do to get man to follow the gospel is to get him to pay his tithes. Most will say, I can't afford it. I know, I was one of them. Even after I got into the ministry, after God called me into the ministry, and I started preaching, I still wasn't paying tithes. But Lord, I just ain't got it. And I've got a family. And also lived paycheck to paycheck. Going deeper in debt all the time. Owed thousands of dollars. And I started paying tithes. Oh, they was times that I'd pay my tithes, and I didn't know how I was going to get anything else paid, or how I was going to have enough food to hold me and the family to my next paycheck. But I'd give it. And God was taking care of me. I didn't have a whole lot. Libby and I got married. I wish she was here and could tell you that what I'm getting ready to share with you right now is true. She wasn't one to use paying tithes either. It was her church. She went to church every time church was open. She'd give an offering, but she never paid tithes. And so I told her, I said, honey, we're going to pay tithes. Because her husband, when he passed away, left her $80,000 in debt. And then right after we got married, another family member had gotten so far in debt with credit cards that we took that on. Because that one was really getting in trouble. So we put $30,000 more on top of that $80,000. I told her, I said, we're going to pay tithes. So I sat down one evening, I figured up her income, my income, add them together. I knew what it was going to take for tithes. And I thought, Lord, I don't know where I'm going to get it. But you'll have to take care of it, because I'm going to pay it. And I started paying tithes. Today we don't owe a soul nothing. And we got a little money in two banks. My rich man, no. I am in a lot of ways, yes. But have I got a lot of money? No. We don't owe nobody. Only for electric, the home bill. That $80,000 has been paid off. The $30,000 been paid off. The car's been paid off. It's clear and free. Got no loans whatsoever. And right now, we're running money-wise a little over $9,000 in one bank and a little over $50,000 in another. Because we've been paying tithes, giving God his 10%. You see, all the time I was spending that money, I was spending his money with mine. He wasn't blessing me for that. Nor will he bless anybody else for that. But he'll tell you that if you will pay your tithes and your offerings, he tells you if you'll bring them in on the first day of the week, to his storehouse, he'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you can't even contain. And he'll do it. I'm proof of that. You think, well, he just told me tales. No, I'm showing you. Don't tell tales. Now, let's get on back here into our chapter 9. I don't know why God led me off in that direction, but he did. And I am praying to come Sunday morning, those other three will be here, especially the two that lives close. Because board just next road down, ain't it? next side road. They live on Bull Road. But I look, the old man said that they would be here Sunday morning. And he had hollered at his son, so his son was going to follow him home. And his son was the first one I was talking to, because he's into gospel music. And he was wondering if I was ever going to need to bring somebody in like that, or going to be able to bring somebody in. I told him, yeah, I was going to be looking for him not too far, much further down the road. I want to know the weather's going to be good, probably sometime in May, late May. But I'd like to have a couple of outdoor all day singing going on. Singing Dinner on the Ground. And he lives in Louisville. But I looked for him because his dad told me, he said, I will be back Sunday morning. He said, I will be here Sunday morning. And so he followed his dad home, and they seemed to be awful close. And I believe his dad tells his son, yeah, I'm going down there Sunday. I believe he'll drive out a little and he'll be here with him. Him and his mother. All right. Well, we're going to drop back here now, this first verse here in chapter 3. And this is on the fall of man. How man fell. What brought sin to mankind? Because when God created man, he was created without any sin. He could have lived forever and never had to worry about sin if he had just listened and had obeyed the word of God and obeyed God. But now God, here in this verse 1, says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. The serpent. God made the serpent, but Satan used it. Because God created everything living. He said it was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. That word subtle means it was crafty, sneaky. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He said, didn't God tell you you could eat of every tree in the garden? See, he's using God's own words. Because God had told him, didn't he? The only thing was, just like a lot of our churches are doing today, he left out part of it. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. See, she's leaving some out too. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, he wasn't talking about them dying as we talk about death. He was talking about that separation that would come. Of course, it did bring death unto mankind too. Because man and that woman both had been created to where they could have lived forever. But, you see, God had said that, but God also went ahead and told them that they could not eat of that tree of knowledge. They wasn't to eat of that tree at all. They wasn't even to touch it. But that serpent, he says, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Contradicting the word of God. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He's tempting her. It's good for food. It'll make you as God. That's what the serpent showed this woman. It'll make you as gods. You'll know good and evil. Well, it all wasn't a lie. But it did. It gave them that knowledge of good and evil. But it also brought death, just as God told her it would. And it's that act that brought death to you and I. And sin. Now, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. See? Wanted to be wise and smart now. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Done exactly what God told her not to do. And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And what did it do? It done exactly what Satan had told him through that serpent, and also what God told him. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made them aprons. You see, they was there in the garden. No clothing, no nothing. They didn't need it. They didn't have the knowledge of being naked. They were not ashamed. Now, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now they're hiding from God. Because now they know they done wrong. Because they know they disobeyed what God told them to do. And now they know they're naked. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Calling him. Where are you? Of course, God knew where he was. But he's going to make him own up to it. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. This is the first time fear spoke of. About man being afraid. Because I was naked. And I hid myself. Telling on himself too. On top of everything else. Verse 11. God said, "Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" But look what Adam does here. "And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat." He blaming her. It was as much his fault, even though she hadn't, she'd eat. He didn't have to, but he did. But now he's putting the blame on her. Used to be a joke, you know, about the man and woman. Used a lot of times in my younger days about the joke. God made man and woman, and then the seventh day he rested. But since that day, since God made man and woman, since he made woman, nobody's rested. In 13, "And the Lord God said unto the woman," he's getting ready to pass judgment upon all of them that participated. "What is this thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Now she's blaming the serpent. Well, he helped. And she didn't have to listen to him. She should have listened to the Lord God. "And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." That's just part of it. Because you see, he goes on here in 15. He says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman." In other words, you're going to be enemies. "Between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." In other words, your children and her children. "It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And when you see a serpent, you see a snake out here in the yard, what's usually the first thing you do? You want to stomp on it. Unless it's bigger than what you want to try to stomp on, and you go get something else. But you fat want to get rid of it. And it wants to bite you. Just like God said, he put that enmity between the two. "Unto the woman," he said, here's her punishment. "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Sorrow. That's why she has the pain she has today when they give birth. It's because Eve brought it upon them when she disobeyed the Lord God. I've worked in OB. And I know there is a lot of pain that goes with childbirth. As far as just how hard that pain is, that's why I really don't know. Us men, we don't experience that. But I have been told, which gave me some idea, that for a man to have a kidney stone and pass it, the pain is like a woman giving birth. I only had one in my lifetime, but it put me in the hospital. Now, I had a brother-in-law who had passed 4 or 5 a week. And he cried with every one of them. He'd lay and cry and scream. But anyway, now that's her punishment. Man ain't getting away free. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. That brought a lot of farmers into the world, actually. Because you see, now, God in his punishment to them is getting ready to put them out of the garden. He's going to have to work for his food now. Had everything in that garden he could have ever wanted. All the food. Because they could eat from every tree except those two. They wouldn't listen to God. Now, he's going to really have to work. And what's all of us been doing all of our lives? Work. If we eat, we got to work. Now, 18, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. But you're going to have to take care of it now. You're going to have to till it. You're going to have to grow it and work for it. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. We don't have to wonder why we have to work. We're told right here. In the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, from dust thou art, and unto dust shall thou return. This body's going back to the ground one day. Go back to the dirt from which it came from. Because that's where God took to make that first man. It was made from the dust of the earth. And Adam called his wife name Eve because she was the mother of all living. 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. From the very first sin, to clothe them, to cover them with the sin they had brought upon themselves, and the sin of being naked, God had to clothe them with the skins of animals, which brought about the first sacrifice. And the Lord God said, behold, The man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. He's letting us know there in a roundabout way that we've got to live for him and partake now of that other tree, the tree of life. Not the tree of knowledge, because the tree of knowledge is what brought sin upon mankind. The tree of life. And the only way you and I will ever eat of that tree is to become a born-again child of the living God. Walk our days in serving him and living his word and working with others, helping mankind to find a way of salvation, to make heaven their home. You see, that tree of life is going to be in that new city, that new Jerusalem. It's going to be there for the healing of the nations. Revelation tells us that. And he's letting us know here, the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. He sent him forth. Now he's got to work to live. So we don't have to wonder anymore why we have to work to live. If you're going to live and raise a family, you're going to go work somewhere. And we all need to thank these farmers out here that does till the ground so that we have even something to be able to eat that bread. We all need to be working together in order to see the gospel grow. And we'll be closing with this next verse. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life, so no one could get in. Adam and Eve couldn't get back into the garden. They was put out of it, and they was to make their living by taking care of themselves and tilling the ground. But then they was going to have to listen to the good Lord too. And as we move on further into the Old Testament, we're going to see how man grew and what mankind has had to go through because of the first sin of man and woman. You know, our sins not only hurt ourselves, our sins hurts others, because I don't care what sin it is. If you commit a sin, those around you find out about it, it puts doubt into their lives. See, he ain't what he said he was. He don't really believe in what he's saying. Look at him, look what he's done. You know that's what they do. And the very moment you tell someone that you are a born-again child of God, I guarantee you they're going to watch you every move you make. those you work with especially will watch you. Those you work for will watch you. Your family will watch you. And the things you did before you became a child of God, they don't never forget. They never forget it. You'll always hear from them until they become a child of God and learn of forgiveness. God, no, I've got children that still will bring things up to me. Well, Dad, you know you done this. Yeah, I know I did that. But the good Lord covered that with his blood. That's over with. That's done. I don't do that no more. Yeah, but you always did. Now you're hollering at me. No, I'm hollering at you because I don't want to see you have to go through what I did. I want to see you have eternal life. Make heaven your home. But don't never think your own family won't get on you. In fact, they'll be the first ones to do it. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place to where we can come and come together, Father, in the study of your word and to be a support to each other and to be able to work together, Father, to reach out to the community in which this church stands and help us to bring in others, Father, into your word and into your family. Father, we know that we can share your word, but you give the increase. Now, Father, work with us. Use this church. Use it in a mighty and great way. Use me, Father. Use me to the fullest. Not to lift me up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for the saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to just keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for them that they will have peace, Father. But even more than that, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land that serves Jesus. In this land of ours, Father, that has walked so far away, taking our Lord out of every place he was in, not wanting to hear his name at all, Father. But, Father, we ask for your help to get those out of office, Father, that's standing against the church, against the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, help us to put in those that will stand with the church and with Jesus. And help us, Father, to bring this land to repentance so that it can be healed, Father, and our government put back upon the foundation of which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, our prayer list. Father, we pray that each one, each name when it is called, that the Holy Spirit will touch that one and bring about the infilling of whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's friend Sue and Sue's family in Texas, Amy's husband, Tom, Tom's friend, Dennis, and Dennis's family in Oklahoma. For their young son, Jacob, Father, this young man, using among the young people there in Texas, Father, in spreading your word. For Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden and his wife, Tina, the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Father, for Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, for this young man that's been ordained into the ministry will. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit has been his teacher, that he's minister you want him to be. Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, we lift them up in prayer and put them in your hands, Father. You know what is needed there. And that little full gospel church of God of Akron, Father, we pray that it become a place of refuge where those that are walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. And Father, we pray that you will find one and put one there, Father, that will keep your word as it is written, that will teach your word there, Father, as it should be taught. Now, Father, for Haroon Islam, this young man in Pakistan, Father, watch over him, keep him safe, keep him in health, and see to his needs as he travels those countries. For the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Branson family, for my family, for my wife's family, and for each family of those that will hear this message, may the Holy Spirit work with all these families and help them that are in darkness, Father, come from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus. For Jimmy Embry, baby Jalee, Sharon Monville, and Sharon's mother. For Sue, for Palin's. Father, for Sister Beatrice, for Brother Dennis, Brother Jim, for Henry Craycroft, for Casey Smith, Kelly Smith and his wife. Father, all of these, we pray, Father, that you hold them in the hollow of your hand. Bring about the healing that is needed within each one. Make them strong, strong in faith, and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is my prayer this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.